some more creative reading. Is that? Yeah, I wonder. We're gonna have scripture reading. And we're going to have some audience participation in this scripture reading as well. Okay. And the scripture today is from Mark 2, 1 to 12. And this is what the God's Word says. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home, and many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at a door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic,
"Son, your sins are forgiven."
Now, some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts,
"Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?"
And immediately, Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thought Christian within themselves, said to them,
"Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise up, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home."
And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying,
"We never saw anything like this."
Praise God for his words. And Pastor Chris Lee is going to give us a message this morning.
Thank you, Crystal. And thank you, church, for participating along in the scripture reading. And again, good morning and welcome to Canaan. We are glad that you guys are here and that you are a part of our service this morning and worshiping with us. We're always glad to welcome all of you guys. So you guys, most of you should know, I think as I'm looking around, mostly familiar faces, we have been going through the Gospel of Mark, and we've been going through it verse by verse, just kind of getting a good full picture of this gospel. And hopefully it's been exciting for you guys. Again, we're encouraging you guys to read ahead, read along, to kind of know what's going on. So just in case if you guys, don't know what's going on or have forgotten, here's a quick recap of what we've talked about already. So earlier on, we looked at who John the Baptist was and looking at his message of repentance. And him kind of preparing the way for Jesus. We looked at Jesus' baptism. We saw that after he was baptized, he went and got tempted. He went to the wilderness to get tempted. After that, he called his first disciples. And then once he got his disciples ready, he went around, he started preaching. He went to the temple, he preached with authority, and people were kind of blown away by the message that they heard from him. During that time in the temple courts, as he was preaching, there's a man with an unclean spirit that kind of spoke out, and he rebuked that spirit and cleansed this man. And people are really amazed that he had authority over unclean spirits. And then he went to Peter's house, and Peter's mother-in-law was sick, and he healed her. And then people kind of heard about this, he's doing some pretty cool things. They started lining up out the door of his house, and he just started healing people and doing some crazy cool ministries. We also saw that after that event kind of happened, at that next night morning, Jesus early off kind of went off and just spent some time recharging, kind of reconnecting, getting kind of re-energized by God to do kind of the more of his ministry. Last week we looked at him healing this leper, and so this is just chapter one, and we have still a good ways to go, but I hope that you guys are excited to kind of see this life of Jesus and his ministry. And so we are going to be going into chapter 2. We finally finished the first chapter of Mark, and we're heading into chapter 2 this morning. But let's go ahead and pray first, and then we'll jump into that. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you just for this time that we can get to just dig into your word, just to see the life and ministry of Jesus, just to see who he is, who he called us to be as well as his disciples. And we pray that, as we continue to learn more about him and his ministry, that we would be excited to be able to participate in what he's doing, not just back then, but currently today as well. As his disciples. And so we pray that you would just open up our hearts, our minds, our ears, again, to your message, your truth, and that, that we would be changed by your word. So we pray for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you guys ever kind of gone out of the way for a friend who's in need? Maybe someone that you cared for and you kind of went above and beyond kind of what they expected? Or maybe has it flipped around? Has somebody kind of gone above and beyond in helping you out when you're in need? Maybe it's a physical thing when you're physically in pain and people kind of went out of their way to help you, or financial thing, or maybe it's an emotional kind of a thing. But have you had friends or people, right? Friends, good friends, who have come alongside you and been with you during that time? Or have you been a good friend and been there for somebody and kind of go above and beyond, what was kind of necessary, what was called for? Hopefully you guys have some of those experiences. I want to share a short story, a quick story about May, me and May. This is before we were married. In fact, this story takes place when we had just started dating, maybe like a month into our dating life. And so this is what happened. So I met May, my wife, at her church. It's called EFC East Valley, and down in LA. And their church is a Taiwanese church. It's pretty similar to Canaan. They have a Taiwanese service, English service. And like many Asian churches, they provide lunch, free lunch after the services for their members and stuff like that. And those lunches, similarly, are sometimes okay, and sometimes not so okay, depending on the weeks that whatever was served, right? Whatever that restaurant that they got it from, served, right? But the church, the English ministry people, they usually stuck around to eat lunch, and so I would stick around just to hang out, fellowship with those people. So there's one Sunday, got the lunch. And ate it, and it was one of those that wasn't so good. It was just like, okay, kind of a lunch, but ate it anyways. And afterwards, I went to hang out at one of the guys' house. We're hanging out, and we decided to play a little Call of Duty. And this is a couple years ago. And so we're playing the game, and then I started getting a little sick. And then in my head, I was like, okay, maybe it's just because I play too many first-person shooters. I get a little a little motion sickness and stuff like that. So I was like, oh, maybe I'm just playing too much. All right, so I'm gonna stop. Hey, I'm gonna just go home and just chill. And so get in my car, start driving home, and this sickness just didn't go away. So I was driving. I was like, oh, I feel really really sick. I was like, maybe I should pull over, but I didn't. I just kept driving and driving, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh, I really need to throw up. That, whatever it was, something is not right. But I'm driving, and I had nowhere to stop, and so I just, empty seat beside me, the church lunch just came out all over the seat, all over the floor next to me. The passenger seat is really, really gross. I threw up again, I did it twice. And I don't know how, praise God, I did not get in a car accident or anything, because I was driving, and it just came out. When you have to throw up, it just comes out. Right, so that happened, and it was like all over my seat, all over my, the floors, and on the, the dashboard and everything. It was just disgusting, right? It was everything. So I drove home. I was at my parents' place, and I drove home, and I called May, and I was like, oh, I know, we're supposed to hang out later, today, but I just this church lunch, that was bad. It didn't sit well with me. I ate something really bad. I just threw it all up. It's really disgusting. I got food poisoning from that. And so I was really sick. I was really weak. And May, 1 month into dating, she you know, really caring, you know. She came over and she brought me like some Gatorade, you know, and some like crackers and bread and, you know, easy things to kind of digest because, you know, that's what, you know, I needed and stuff like that. But not only that, right, what did she do? Later that day when I was feeling a little bit better, she rolled up her sleeves, got some latex gloves on, rags, bleach. She helped me clean up my throw-up car. All right, this is 1 month into dating, and I was like, she's a keeper. Like, all right, that is above and beyond. Like, I would not, like, you know, like, clean up somebody else's, like, throw-up, you know? Like, that is really gross, right? That's really disgusting. But she went, you know, above and beyond, right? She went above and beyond in helping me, you know, clean up, you know, my car and make that better. And it was really nice. I mean, it was nice to have that, you know, support and that care. Now, in the story that we read this morning, that you guys helped us read, we see kind of something kind of similar in that we have these friends who kind of go above and beyond in their care for their friend, right? And so let's go ahead, and again, if you guys have in your Bibles, you guys look at Mark chapter 2, it'll be up on the screen, it's in your bulletins as well. But here it is, the first couple of verses says this. So, when he had returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, these four men, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And so here we go. Jesus, as you guys know, his ministry is getting pretty big, right? As he's kind of going around through the town of Galilee, he's preaching, he's teaching, and along the way, you know, people bringing sick and needy, healing, and he starts healing people because he has this compassion for these people, right? And so people are starting to, like, get news of this guy, right? This guy is different, right? Here's this guy, he's preaching with authority, he's different than whatever we've ever heard. He's doing some really cool miracles, right? He's healing people, healing lepers, you know, and he's, you know, people who are unclean, and he's, like, touching them, and he's healing them. He's not getting sick, and, like, what's going on, right? This is a really cool guy. And so he's getting really, really popular, right? As you guys, youngins would say, his ministry was lit, right? He's on fire, right? All these people are coming out. He's packing out the house, you know, everywhere he goes, whatever, right? Everyone just crowding him, wanting to see and hear and see what's going on with this guy. And so he comes back to Capernaum, right? He's there, and there he is. You know, people find out, hey, he's back home, right? He's back in Capernaum. Let's go check him out, you know. And they come to their house that he's staying at. They pack out the house, right? And Jesus is there, and he, again, starts preaching to them, telling them what God's kingdom is all about, what it means to be a disciple, follower of Christ. So, here we come, these four men, they have a friend who's a paralytic. They get to the home, and it's full, right? They can't get in. So they decide to go up on the roof and, you know, make a hole in the roof and lay the guy through the hole, the roof. And so, in order to kind of understand this a little bit more, here's kind of a picture of what it might have looked like, the home, or a typical, like, home back in that time. Flat roof. Right, there's stairs that's on the side that you can get to the roof, right? So it wasn't like they just, like, you know, like, threw the guy up or something. Like, you know, there's actually stairways, so they actually, you know, climbed to the roof. The roof is mostly made of, like, wooden beams, maybe some, like, compacted dirt and some thatch that's kind of on there to make the roof. So they weren't, like, you know, jackhammering through, like, concrete or anything like that, right? But still, it took a lot of effort, right, for them to get there, to bring this guy up to the roof, to actually, like, make a hole. They're probably making a big mess, right? It's like dirt and stuff like that falling on people as they're, like, walking on the roof, and big noise that they're just, like, ripping out, you know, trying to rip out the thatch and stuff like that, making a big commotion. But they didn't care, right? They didn't care because they wanted to make sure they got their friend to Jesus. And so they lowered him in, right? And this is, they lowered him down. And Jesus, when he saw, you know, what they did, right? He says this, right? When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, an interesting thing to kind of think about was this, right? So the four men and the paralytic, when they came to Jesus, they were expecting Jesus to do what? To heal him, right? That was their intention, was a physical healing of the body, right? He's paralyzed, and you want to be healed physically. But Jesus goes kind of above and beyond as well. He goes a further step, and he says, you know what, son, your sins are forgiven. I'm not just going to heal you physically, right? I'm going to actually forgive you of your sins. Now, we can take a pause here, and I'm going to take a little bit of a rabbit trail, a little bit of a side note here, because I think some questions might come up and might be like, well, why did Jesus say, your sins are forgiven, right? Is there a correlation, is there a connection between the physical, like, you know, paralysis of this man and sin, right? Is that why? So Jesus, you know, saw this man, and, you know, this guy had sinned previously, this is why he's paralyzed, and so Jesus decides to forgive him of his sin. And the answer is complicated, but it's like yes and no, okay? And let me kind of explain, not a great answer, but so this is kind of my take on things. When Jesus, you know, again, created Eden and the beginning of the earth and everything like that, with Adam and Eve in the garden, everything was perfect, right? There was no sin, and there was no pain. There was no suffering. Everything was just ideal, right? And they were having a good time, Adam and Eve, with God in perfect relationship, and everything was peaceful. But because of sin, because of their sin, right, once that entered into the world, there was a consequence of that. And that led to, again, pain and suffering, death, right, and all that stuff. So we could say, yes, that this man's paralysis ultimately, originally came from a life of, you know, whatever, some sort of a sin, right? Adam and Eve's sin caused the world to be broken, right? So yes, we could say that. And on a kind of a side note, also another side note, you know, God, again, allows us to take action, and there's consequences for our action. So sometimes our sins can lead to physical, you know, pain and stuff like that. You know, if you go and you get drunk, which is a sin, and you make a bad decision because of that drunkenness sin, that could lead to physical, you know, pain for you and others, possible, right? So yes, there are some correlations between that. But I want to say in most cases, and I think in this case with this man, that is not there was no correlation between sin and the physical paralysis of this man. In John chapter 9, there's a separate kind of a side story where Jesus heals this man who was blind from birth. And the disciples were the ones who actually questioned, you know, this man's blindness. And they had asked Jesus, hey, Jesus, you know, who sinned? You know, was it this man or is it the parents who sinned that this guy became blind? Right? And so again, in the disciples' mind in John 9, they had this connection of like, oh, sin, you know, must have led, you know, this man's, you know, consequence, you know, led him to be blind. And Jesus said no. He said no, it wasn't him or the you know, the parents who sinned. This was just kind of, it just happened. But I can take this and I can use it for my glory. I can heal him and people will be glorified, I would be glorified through this miracle. And so he's able to take kind of that situation and, you know, make something kind of cool out of it. But ultimately, I want to, again, make sure you guys kind of see that, is that, okay, yes, sometimes, again, sin leads the consequences of physical things, but not all the time, all right? So just because, you know, you guys get sick or something like that, it's like, oh, is that because, you know, I, like, lied or something? And you just get sick sometimes, you know, you're playing basketball, you get hurt. Oh, is that because I, like, you know, did something earlier? You know, no, okay, sometimes, again, life just kind of happens. Not all physical ailments and stuff like that are results of sin. All right? I just kind of want to declare. So back to our story here. And I think this is the same case. When Jesus, you know, heals this man, what he sees is more. He sees their faith in him. Now, their faith in him was just as a healer, as a miraculous kind of a person. But he saw what they desired, like that they knew that Jesus would do something. And they went, again, above and beyond and out of their way to make sure that they brought this guy to Jesus. So Jesus saw their faith, and he says, you know what, I'm going to reward you guys for that. And I'm going to go above and beyond, and I'm going to forgive you of your sins, right? And so Jesus does this, right? The guy comes down, Jesus forgives them of their sin. And another kind of quick reminder again, is that Jesus' ministry at that time, again, was all about preaching the word, right? Telling people to repent and to believe in the good news, right? That was always his mission. Jesus, if you guys remember, in verse two, what is he doing? He's preaching God's word. He's not holding a healing service, right? He's doing God's word and preaching God's word. And yet, again, opportunity arises when, you know, somebody was in pain. Jesus had compassion, and he does reach out to this person. So let's continue on in the story. All right, so Mark chapter 2, 6 to 9 says this. Now, some of the scribes are sitting there, and they're questioning in their hearts, why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they had questioned within themselves, said to them, why do you question these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise up, take your bed, and walk. And so, again, there are some scribes. These are really smart people, teachers of the law, people who have studied the Old Testament. They know it back and forth. They're religious. These are, quote unquote, holy peoples. It's kind of ironic that they know so much about God's word, but they couldn't see, you know, Jesus for who he was. But anyways, they question in their heart, and they're like, you know, who is this guy? Who can forgive sins? And it's important to understand that, again, in the Old Testament, God was the only one who can forgive sins, right? No one else was able to. No prophet, no holy man or anything like that. No priest can forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. And even in the Old Testament, their idea of a Messiah couldn't forgive sins either. And so it's kind of interesting. So in their head, they're like, again, who is this man? You know, he's claiming to be God, right? This man is claiming to be God. And so they doubted him, right? And so Jesus, again, you know, perceiving in their hearts, is probably, he could tell. He didn't have to, like, read their minds. He could probably just tell by their, like the looks, like, huh? Like, what's he saying? You know, like, maybe they crossed arms and, you know, start maybe, like, whispering to each other, you know. So Jesus can tell, you know, that they had something going on in their heads, right? And he can perceive that. And he says to them, he asks them this question, kind of an interesting question, right? So what is easier, to forgive sins or to say to this man, get up, rise up, and walk? And in my head, I'm like, well, forgiving sins is harder because, you know, I can't forgive sins, right? But in the scribe's mind, telling someone to forgive sins is actually an easier thing to do than to say to someone, get up and rise and walk. Why? Because there's no kind of quote-unquote evidence of that, right? Anyone can kind of just say, oh, I forgive you of your sins, right? I could say that to you, hey, I forgive you of your sins, right? And, like, did it happen? Who knows, right? Like, anyone can kind of say that, right? It's not like when Jesus said, son, I forgive you of your sins, that all of a sudden he sprouted angel wings and a halo and, right? Like, you know, there was no, like, all of a sudden this big transformation that happened, right? Like, so it's like, you know, like, why is he's taking the easy road out, right? Hey, you know, he can't really heal this guy. He's just going, I forgive you. Right, now go away. Right, so Jesus kind of says, what is easier? You know, okay, you think that forgiving sins without proof is easier. Well, let me show you then, you know, my real power, right? And so he says, as we continue to read, right, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. You think this is easier to forgive sins and harder to tell someone to get up and walk? I'll show you. Son, get up, walk, right? And immediately the paralyzed man got up, you know, picked up his bed and went out, and everyone was blown away, right? And so he says, he kind of shows him that, hey, I have authority. I have authority to tell people, to heal them, and I have authority to forgive sins. I can do both of these things. Now the cool kind of thing, again, for Jesus in him as he heals this man is that he didn't even have to, like, he didn't have to touch this guy, right? He just said it. He just said, rise. You know, he didn't have to do some special, you know, performance and, you know, rub and whatever, do the Mr. Miyagi thing, or he didn't have to, you know, do some secret incantation or anything like that, right? He just, rise, get up, walk, you know, and immediately, right, immediately, there's that word that Mark loves to use, immediately the guy gets up, right, and he gets up and he goes out. Couple of things that I want us to kind of think about in this passage, all right, for us. And the first thing is this, okay? Again, it's really easy for us to see Jesus as just a miracle worker. And he does do some really cool things, okay? Jesus does do a lot of amazing miracles, and this church did a whole series on that, apparently. But, you know, I don't want us to focus just on Jesus being this miracle worker, because our perspective of him, it makes a difference, right? If we only see Jesus as someone who can do some cool, amazing things, then he becomes mostly like a genie, right? And this is, someone who did this little genie Jesus. He said, I'll just be chilling in heaven until you need something, okay? Just say the magic word in Jesus' name and kazam, your wish is my command. You ain't ever had a friend like me, right? Aladdin, all right. And so, you know, a lot of times if our perspective on Jesus is just, again, this miracle worker, someone who just, you know, help me, then whatever problem comes up, then I'm just going to go to Jesus because he's just a cool miracle worker, right? Then we only rely on him when things are tough, right? Oh, I have a test coming up. Jesus, God help me, you know, pass this test, right? Oh, you know, I have this big presentation to do. God help me, you know, this. Oh, you know, I need, you know, my relationships is kind of funny. Oh, God, please, you know, do this. Oh, you know, I'm financially strapped. God, please, you know. Then that's all we ever see Jesus as, is some miracle worker who would just kind of come at our beckoning, come at our help, you know, whenever we need him. You know, God, come and help me. Instead, what we really need to see and change our perspective is that Jesus, again, he wasn't just about doing miracles, but he really was about being the Savior, right? He was the one who came to die on our behalf, and we need to have that right perspective for us to be able to see that Jesus isn't just this miracle worker, but that Jesus is the one who gave up his life for us, and in response to that, that we would give our lives to him, right? And that changes things, right? Now the perspective isn't, Jesus, what can you do for me? But what can I do for Jesus, right? It isn't just about, you know, just serve me, Jesus, but, you know, how can I serve you? You know, where can I, what do you desire of me? How am I to live differently? How am I to, you know, spend my time differently and my money differently and, you know, my relationships and stuff like that? How am I going to live differently because you gave up your life for me? You know, my life is yours. Take it, use it. Right, that's a totally different kind of a perspective when we see Jesus as the Messiah, as the Savior. Right, what has Jesus called us to do? Right, Jesus has called us to go and to, you know, to tell others about him. Right, he has called us to you know, be in community. He has called us to serve his church, to grow in our relationships. Right, to help others. Right, to ultimately, again, the great commandment to love God, to love others. Right, is this a part of our lives? Is this a part of our perspective, right? Again, if Jesus is our Messiah, if he really is our Savior, then our perspective changes, right? And it's about, you know, what can we do, Jesus? What can I offer you, my life to you, right? That changes everything. The second thing I kind of want us to see is the heart, again, of the people, the friends that have these four friends and this man, their faith. Right, their faith in Jesus. Now, I just said that, you know, we shouldn't see Jesus just as a miracle worker, and these guys pretty much saw Jesus as a miracle worker. But what I really want us to get at is, again, their heart. Right? What did they do? What did they do? And we see in the story, right, that they went above and beyond. They did more than was required and expected of them to help their friend in need. They could have gotten to the house, saw that it was packed, and just been like, sorry, you know, it's full. We'll come back tomorrow, right? Or let's, you know, maybe we can wait and see if we can catch him on the way out or something like that, right? They could have easily given up, right? But they did not, right? And they went and found a way, and they climbed onto the roof. You know, they didn't care that people were getting angry at them for being a distraction. But they had one goal in mind, and that was to bring their friend to Jesus. In the same way for us, I hope that we would have that same heart for those people that don't know God yet. That we would go above and beyond and try to do whatever we can to bring those who are lost to Jesus, right? Now, our friends, right, who don't know Christ yet, who don't know God yet, right? They are spiritually sick, right? Even if they don't know it or they believe it, that is what we see, is that they are in need of a Savior, right? And for us to want to go and to seek those who are lost, right? That we would not be afraid to go and tell others of this good news, right? To tell them that, hey, right, this is what we believe. Again, what do we believe? Gospel message, pretty simple, but hey, that we all need a Savior, that we're all sinners, that we're all broken, right? No matter what your race is or your background or whatever it is, we are all in need of a Savior, right? We all need God. And we believe that Jesus is the only way, right? That there is no other way through heaven, no works, nothing like that. That He is, and He says this, right? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. And to understand that, again, that this is only by grace alone, right? Through faith. That we have been saved, right? No works, no enough good deeds, no enough, like, you know, giving of money and helping the poor, all these good stuff that we can do. None of that, all that falls short, right? Only through grace that we are saved. And so I think I really believe that God desires for us to be like these friends, right? Who would do whatever they can to bring people to God. And I hope that you guys would have that same kind of heart and same kind of passion. So as I close, I want us to do something before we close, and that is this. Take a moment and think about somebody. Think about somebody who you know that does not know God yet. Put that person in that person's face in your mind, okay? So either a friend, a coworker, a relative, a classmate, a neighbor, whoever it is, okay, think about somebody, okay, think about somebody in your head that you know that doesn't know God yet, all right, and picture them, okay, close your eyes, you can do that, and close your eyes, picture them in your head, okay? And what I want us to do is for you guys to pray for them, okay, right now, just quick kind of a prayer, right, that God would, you know, speak to them. And a quick kind of prayer for you guys to have this boldness, right? To have this faith, to be able to share, you know, God with them. Pray for an opportunity. Pray for boldness. Pray that you would take that opportunity, that God would give you the words to say, that He would give you, again, just His heart to see how much they need you. And that you would, you know, find some time this week, hopefully, maybe even today, sometime soon, that you would go and that you would share God with them. Share what God is doing in your life. You know, share them with Him, you know, God's love for them. Again, you don't need to convert them. God does that. But you need to take that action. You need to take those steps, right, to go out of your way to bring these people to God. As the worship team comes up, let's go ahead and pray and really ask that God would use us to be, you know, His agents to bring people to God. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank You again just for Your love for us. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. We thank You that He is the way, the truth, and the life that we have. It's only through Him. And we pray and we know that, yeah, there are people in our lives that don't know You yet. Yeah, again, relatives or friends, you know, classmates, coworkers, neighbors, you know, just people who we come in contact with. And we pray that we would have the same heart that You have for them, that we would see that they are lost and they are in need of a Savior and that they need You, and that we would go and do whatever we can, that we would not give up even if they, you know, reject us once or twice or 10 times or how many, that we would continue to share God with them, that we would keep just, doing whatever we can to have those conversations, because we know that You love them, we know that they need You, and that You can save them. And so we pray that You would use us to be like these friends, to have this faith, to see that, yeah, that You are the Savior, that You're the Messiah, and that we're going to do whatever we can to bring people to You. We thank You. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.